Hello and welcome to Nintendo Believers, episode 8. Sorry, Nintendo Believers podcast, episode 8. And my name is David Hicks. And with me this week, we have Chase.
Hello.
And we have Quinn.
Hello.
We got the group back together.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. Chase, so good to have you back. We love
good
you.
Good to be back.
Isn't he looking good today, Quinn?
Always is. Always is.
You're looking good, too. Yeah, so we're going to start off with what we've been playing, like we do. Chase, you've been playing something really fun. You beat something today.
I did beat something today. And this is by the recommendation of Quinn, so...
We both beat this recently. Since the last podcast, so this will be fresh. Wow.
Yeah, so it's fresh for both of us. It's a little game called POI, P-O-I.
Explorer Edition, yes.
Explorer Edition. Man, I haven't heard about this game, like, anywhere. And then Quinn is like, hey, you should play this POI. You should go get it. And so I go pick it up. And what he told me is it's like a platformer, and it's kind of like Mario 64. You know, it's clearly inspired by Mario 64 is kind of how
clearly.
He phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just beat it today. I'm like, yeah, like, I totally see it. And, man, this game is good. Like, it's a hidden gem. Like, if it's $20. I think it retails at 30, but it's been on sale for 20 mm-hmm. for a long time. So pick it up if you haven't played it yet. But anyways, it's kind of like, it's got like a hub world kind of, in a way, where you're on a ship.
It's similar to Skyward Sword's hub world to me. Like, you fly around with a paraglider, basically.
Which is fun. Which is a lot
not
of go fun.
Too different.
I love paragliding.
You can't, like, fall. Like, you constantly fly. And then you can get to the world. You know, there's, like, four worlds, maybe?
Yeah, there's four main levels, but then there's lots of other levels sprinkled throughout the sky that
like
you can fly to.
Like, random challenges and
yep.
random things to mm-hmm. do. And the four worlds each have, like, eight or ten, like, medallions. That's what you collect in the game. And it's like, you know, you enter the level and it will have, just like Mario 64, it'll tell you which challenge you're doing.
It's a medallion mission, and it even restructures the level a little bit to be set up for that medallion. You might start in a different area of the level, and it'll show, like, a little cutscene to give you a hint of what you need to do. Very, very similar to Mario Sunshine or 64.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's also similar to those because if you see another medallion in the level, you can go ahead and grab that one out of sequence as well, which
right.
which is very welcome. But I think that the thing that's just the most surprising is this game doesn't look like the most cutting-edge game, and so you think, like, this probably isn't going to control super tight.
Yeah, you got to get past the
But logo. It actually controls really well, and, like, it has all the moves that Mario has. Like, you can triple jump, and you unlock, like, the retro jump or something achievement.
Yeah.
And it's actually... Like, it's really fun because you can, like, you can do a double, you can jump and then jump again in the air and have a double jump, and then you can hit a wall and jump off the wall and double jump off the wall. So you can get a lot of verticality in this game, more than you can in Mario. So
right.
And there's a lot of jumping and diving, like in Mario Odyssey.
Off of your double jump.
There's
yeah.
no cappy, but that definitely comes into play in the end. It's a really fun game, and I like that the levels are more structured around being a fun platformer than just making logical sense like some platformers nowadays.
Yeah.
A lot of these are just blocks floating in space, and you're just like, yep, that's fun to jump on and play a game with, but it doesn't make any sense, but I'm still having a good time.
Yeah. And after getting past the art style, like, it's a little, you know, kiddish. It's a weird art style. I kind of like it, but... It doesn't seem like it'd be an awesome controlling, precise
yeah.
control. Like, I could see this being a huge speedrunner game because there could be people with just amazing talent making the craziest jumps.
I did watch
it fun.
A guy do a speedrun of it in, like, maybe, like, 50 minutes or something. He was pretty good. It was crazy. Which
wow.
we should say that I think, for me, it took, like, 5 to 6 hours to beat the game.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 7 or 8 for me. I don't
yeah.
know. But, yeah, it... Me and Quinn were talking, like, this is easily in both of our top 5 for Switch games.
Wow.
And maybe even third.
Yeah, I was like, there's no reason to play Yooka-Laylee if you haven't played this game. This game is better than Yooka-Laylee in every regard. Because I also beat Yooka-Laylee, and I don't think I talked about that on this show. Maybe I did, I can't remember, but I like this game a lot better. Just... It's refreshing to play a game that you don't need to look anything up, and it's relatively straightforward
it's
and easy, but the final challenge is definitely tough and but fun. I think it would be harder if it didn't have such forgiving checkpoints and respawn points. Like, you could be going through the final level and get pretty far along and, you know, die, and in old Mario games, you'd go all the way back to the beginning. But in this one, you're going back to the beginning of that section of the level.
The checkpoints are forgiven.
There are quite a few.
Which I like.
Yeah, me too.
It doesn't get me frustrated, you know. Man, it's a great game. I definitely recommend it. I mean,
yeah, I just saw the art style. I jumped around a couple times, and yeah, my first reaction was like, this is like a good game. Like,
because
it is. I don't know. It's just it's not an art style that I'm like drawn to. Maybe so. I did not have a great thought going towards the game when you first showed me. But from hearing what you guys are saying, like. This is a must buy.
Like yeah, and I had to get past like the first five medallions to be like, yep, I'm a believer.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
Okay. It took a minute.
Like okay. I feel like you really once you hit the second world, you're like, wow, I'm really enjoying this.
Right. Well, yeah. I feel like that. I do that with all games, especially Nintendo games. Really getting to that point where you're like, okay, I understand.
I love it when that point comes. Yes. And you just want to play it constantly. And,
you don't want to stop. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's where I've been. Like I said last week, my girlfriend got a Switch, and the sad thing is she had to restart her Stardew because she had been playing on mine. She put 35 hours into my Switch. She went crazy on it because she found that niche, you know, that thing that just made her want to continue to play. And so she had to start over, and I wanted to play with her, and I decided to start over as well, just to maybe lower the pain, just to have someone do it
support
with her, you know, support her in that. Nice. And it was 10 times better than the first time I started. It's because I knew exactly what to do. I knew what was going on. I knew what I needed to do to get the money, like a good amount of money, fishing pretty much, which is what you got to do. And I had a lot of skills from before. So I was pretty good at that starting off. And, it's really cool because in my life I have been trying to, be more productive, and get up at 7 a.m., go to bed at 11, do a bunch of stuff within the day. Like, and I do that in Stardew, like, and I'm, I'm so productive and it's so rewarding. And, it's kind of cool how I really love doing it in real life and I love doing it in the game. It kind of just goes back and forth with that, but you also can be very relaxed and not be super productive if you didn't want to, but I really want to. I really want to get everything that, that I'm working towards. I love how, and I've already done a review on this game, but I love how you feel like you're going towards something. Like, there's not really an end to this game, but I still feel like there is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe the reason is because the game has set these limitations on you, and they're just like, okay, like everything you do from now is going to help you to be more productive and going to help you use less energy. It's going to help you make more money. And so that you can do more stuff, you're always growing. And I think that this game does it in an amazing way. Just continue. You're always growing. You're always getting levels up with fishing, farming, foraging, all those different things. Also, the way that when you level up, you get more crafting abilities so that you can get more items so that you can make friends or whatever. And this game is deep. I'm telling you, it's so deep. In every category, like I haven't even really gone into all the friend stuff, but Ashley has, and like there's some people that invite her over for dinner, and and like there's so much that I don't even know. And
that's awesome.
I put in like 30 more hours into my new save file, and there's so many things I still don't know of the game, and I'm waiting in anticipation to actually find certain items to be able to go in new areas to craft new things. But my thought, I was on the way here, I was thinking about, like, why would you guys like this? Like, why, Chase, why would you get into this? And I just kept thinking of, like, 2K. Like, 2K, you have no, there's no, you don't win at 2K.
True.
Like, you go and you go. You're going towards the championship, of course. And, like, that's your goal. And that's, I think that's how I feel for Stardew. It's like, I'm just going for this year. It's going to be, it's a long play time. I'm going for the end of this year. And I have a whole bunch of different mini tasks I'm trying to do, but I am growing just like in 2K when you're making your player better, you're going through the grind, but it also has a sense of relaxation. It's just like, I'm just, you know, getting good sit, good okay. assists, getting
so
some
it's a good
shots.
TV watching, like, game playing kind of
right.
game.
Right. Like you, yeah, exactly. Like there's yeah. so many times when, and this is where I would go for over by you, Quinn, like yeah. the relaxing Pokemon game mm-hmm. that you're not really fully paying attention. There are times that you probably would want to more than not and just yeah. like yeah. Pokemon. But mm-hmm. when you're fishing, like I, I would be putting things in my bag, getting ready for school, and just hold it down the X button to fish. And then like as soon as the fish came up, I'd like just
grab it
and get it. And I mean, I do so many different things while I'm playing this game. I've watched This Is Us. I watched that the last episode yeah. playing the game. Like it's an intense episode, and I'm mm-hmm. still like, because it doesn't take that much, you know. And mm-hmm. and when you really get it down, you understand the game. You feel it. You're just like, oh my gosh, like I want to play this game. This is so fun. So that's where I'm at. Mm. But
I'm interested.
yeah, I. Stubborn old me. Some people have called me stubborn. I'm just
no.
I'm holding out for physical. I mean,
yeah.
Like, if I want a digital game, I usually buy it on day one. And at this point, I'm like, man, I really hope it's physical. And I think
right.
Chase yeah. might be in the same boat because our wives both have Switches as well, and it'd be nice to be able to buy one copy and
absolutely.
We play that's it,
true.
And then they play it and not have to buy two copies of this game. And
yeah.
yeah.
You know, or maybe if they put it on sale, I think it's $15 normally. Maybe if it's $10 or right. $7.99 or something like
that. I would tell you, though.
I would jump on it. It's nice to have on the system at all times.
But yeah, I would, like, for this specific game, there are certain games that are just like, whatever. Like, for Smash Bros., yeah. I bought it and while I was in Paraguay with my family for a year. Like, I bought it there, and, like, I don't play Smash Bros. By myself forever. You know, mm-hmm. I'll play, like, one or two times,
yeah.
and then put it down. I don't have to, like, take it out of the cartridge and, you know, do all that. Mumbo jumbo, but like mm-hmm. This game is a really good game to be able just like, oh, it's on my Switch, I'll play a day and then get off. Like mm-hmm. it's yeah. like it's a very it has just the mobile feel of like you know, just I'm just gonna click on this app. Like I get you 100%. Like
yeah.
I want a physical too. I almost mm-hmm. I almost want to just buy it just to have it
yeah
in
on your shelf.
Yeah. But like yeah. I think that this game more than a game maybe like. Maybe I think Zelda's pretty good too, but I love just being able to just click on it, have something else in the dock. But and I don't feel that way for every game, but I do feel
yeah.
like it really works for this game.
Yeah,
but
yeah that makes sense for yeah. this game. I think my other reservation to this is like the same reservation I have for Animal Crossing. It just
right.
seems like I right. miss the window as a kid to play one of these and be nostalgic for it. And it just seems like a game made for younger kids
sure.
and. It's just like, should I jump in and will I enjoy it? And I'm sure I will because it seems like the casual game that's right up my alley, like you said.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that the Switch is where I'll play this and my first Animal Crossing game. I'll
right.
give it a go. I'm saying it now on the show.
Yeah.
I'll play Animal
the
Crossing.
The thing about Animal Crossing, though, is even like I'm not super creative.
Yeah.
Like, and I can be. It's just sometimes mm-hmm. it's not super fun to be super creative. You know, for videos you kind of have to be and you want to be. But for
yeah.
for Animal Crossings, like all you do is get money so you can make a bigger house so that you can get
yeah.
cooler things so you can decorate your house really cool. And I'm not very good at that. And there's not a whole lot of options. Like this game, you could do that, but that's not the main thing.
Right.
Okay.
You know. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of options. Like I said, this game is very deep. I don't even know half the things that you really can do with doing it. And I've already played 30 hours. Like whoever created this, I think like Concerned Ape, I don't remember what his name is. amazing job. He's putting multiplayer in later on, some DLC and more festival stuff for the holidays. Like I'm excited for that, but
yeah. yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Which would be really fun for I don't know how if it's going to be like four people or just two people. If it was four, it would be really fun to play with like our wives. Like
that'd be sweet.
I'm excited to play with Ash, but
yeah,
for sure.
Man, yeah. So recommendations: Poi and Stardew Valley. Those are both solid games to pick up and play on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question though. Mm-hmm. What would you guys rate Poi out of 10?
I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say 8.5.
Okay, not 8.5. I probably would raise my review on Stardew to like a 9.5.
Yeah.
Now that I know more about it and understand it better, it's
okay.
So 9.5 out of 10 for me. But yeah, Quinn, you want to switch our podcast into some news?
Yes. So the rumor mill has been churning this week, and Metroid Prime 4 is the subject. Bandai Namco has been rumored to be developing this game, and This kind of sounds like Eurogamer has confirmed this. What do you guys think of this?
It's weird because I remember hearing something, Game Explained said something about how Eurogamer, like, you know, rumored that Stars was coming out, Pokemon Stars, and that didn't really happen. And so they do have a history of not being accurate with their rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know where their source is. I don't know if they gave one. But, you know, someone confirmed it. So that's better than no one confirming it. So, I don't know. What about you, Chase?
I mean, Bandai Namco, let's see, they created games like Dark Souls and Soul Calibur. Mm-hmm. So, Dark Souls is a good game. it could be good. I mean, Metroid Prime 4 going along with that kind of vibe and that kind of scope.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, yeah. I feel when I played Dark Souls 3 with my brother, Brad, the atmosphere was really well done, I think, and the gameplay in general. But the gameplay styles feel similar to me. You're kind of just dropped into this world. They give you a little story, and really in both of them, but you don't really know what's going on. And you know you're fighting for something. You're looking for something, and in Metroid, you're all alone. You know, there's
right
just like in Dark Souls, and you have the bosses, which is a lot different when you think about the gameplays. But they have a very similar vibe. I think that I feel like Bandai Namco could do a really good job with that.
Yeah, they've got the chops to do it. So right.
I feel like you haven't mentioned the Bandai Namco is pretty much the hand that developed Smash 4.
That's you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Nintendo's got full trust in them, obviously.
Absolutely. True. Good point.
I'm sure that there will be an oversight guy from Nintendo.
Oh, I was just thinking that too.
Or
yeah.
something. And
like the creator of Metroid.
Just because of that, along with the fact that Metroid isn't a top-tier franchise for Nintendo. It is a top-tier franchise for Nintendo fans, but it's never sold well. It's never sold well at all in Japan, and it's only kind of been a cult favorite here in the States. So I definitely think that this rumor could be true, that they're farming out Metroid Prime 4, even though, you know, it was a hyped announcement.
Right.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. What do you guys think about this rumor being true?
I mean, it's very interesting because I think that if they would have said any other developer, I would have been like, no way. Like, I think that this is the developer for me, second party developer, to be like, okay, like they did make Smash, like they have some trust there. They make quality games. I mean, they have the relationship. I mean, and they're gonna oversee it. And Retro's probably doing their new IP. You know, like they don't have the
Donkey
resources.
Kong.
Hopefully, Donkey Kong. But I mean, it's weird that Retro isn't making it and that they're switching it to Bandai. Maybe they're just punishing Retro for not making the best Other M. I don't know if they made that, but I don't know. I think it's very very possible.
Yeah, I think it could totally happen. It makes sense, for sure.
Okay, next bit of news is that Nintendo finally decided to drop a month that the online service is going to be released, and that is September 2018, a year and a half after the launch of the Switch. What do you guys think about this?
My initial reaction is, what the heck? But then I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't really have internet. I would like to just not have to pay for going over to your guys' house and playing Splatoon. You know, like that. For me, that's nice. But for the fan base, I get, like, that's frustrating. Like, why? Like, and I think that Nintendo owes us an understanding of what this thing actually is, this online service actually is, what we're going to be expecting. I mean, what do you guys think? You guys think that's going to come soon? Like,
I think that, you know, there are a few comments like, yeah, there's going to be one retro game a month that everybody's going to play online. And then they kind of, like, retracted that statement because fans didn't like it, and I think that they've just kind of been throwing ideas out there and listening to the fans, and I honestly think that they've been reacting to what people are saying because Nintendo has never done online right. So I don't think that they're going to do it right this time, and I think that the only reason it's September 2018 is because there's no games between now and then that they can drop with it that will you know, sell subscriptions. I think that September's probably lining up for like the new Smash or Pokemon or one of the big games that uses online regularly. They can drop it and say, oh, and you can subscribe to the online service and we'll throw in this or something if you subscribe for a year, and then they can get a pretty high attach rate, and it'll probably, you know, not work for 3 weeks, and we'll have disconnects. And but I mean,
man, that just gets my blood boiling right there. Like, like Nintendo, like, I love you, but man, you make me mad sometimes. Like, if that's what they do, like, it's just like they want my money. They don't really, it's like they don't really care about me. They're just trying to grab me, you know. It's like, come on, like, I don't want it with, I mean, I get it. I get it as from a business standpoint, release a game with it, get more subscriptions with it. But man, like, for me, I wish it was like, oh, we don't really know what we're doing and we want to make it better, so we're going
to
take more
time. To me, it would have seemed smarter to like release it with maybe a smaller profile game to kind of test the servers out and get used to the bandwidth that they're going to see and stuff. You know, maybe
right.
a game
and
like,
I feel like
the size of ARMS or something.
Like,
yeah, but I mean, and they are, because you can play online for free
sure,
right now,
sure,
but
sure.
it's yeah. just hard to say with the additional features, like, you know, maybe more people will be doing voice chat or different things that are available.
Right.
I mean, do you guys, so I'm looking at the Microsoft Netflix style service, which, you know, it has 100 games and it comes with new releases, and they just updated it recently to where, you know, it'll include new games on release day instead of happening later, and that's $10 a month. So, I mean, you got 100 games in your bank. You're talking like when Sea of Thieves comes out in March, they get that game. So like $60 retail game. And this came out 6 months ago. So to me, it's like this came out after Nintendo announced their online mm-hmm. and they kind of had the subscription service, which kind of seemed kind of lame. Like it's going to be games you get for a month. So I'm thinking they saw this and were like, holy crap, we got to step it up. So, I mean, like maybe, yeah. maybe it's going to be like they're going to include a subscription style service where they're going to include a bunch of retro games
right.
along with an enhanced online or,
right.
or whatever it might be. I just think they're realizing that maybe what they initially had to offer wasn't good enough.
Right.
So.
And they don't have to go full scope like that. They can still have their new releases be like you have to buy them. Just put mm-hmm. a bunch of retro games like that. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're waiting so
yeah.
they can actually develop a good amount of retro games. Like if that's the thing,
could be.
It'd be really nice for you to tell us that, because that would really excite everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, when do you think they're going to give us some information on this?
I don't think we're going to get much. I mean, E3?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like something they'd want to air out before E3. I think I think they will. I think E3 will be focused on the new hard-hitting games for the holiday season and this year. But I also like, yeah, Microsoft has a subscription service, but Nintendo's IPs are way more valuable. I'm just going to say it here.
Exactly.
And that's
and they don't have
that's
that
what
many.
Nintendo's struggling with. They're struggling with, should we release these all to everybody? Or should we piecemeal them to where you can buy them? Should we do a little bit of both? I think it's just really hard to decide what they're going to do. And they should be ready to change the model if what they start with isn't what, you know, people seem to have wanted. But I personally hope it's a little of both, because I like the idea of owning games and being able to play them offline on my Switch. Like, I'm
yes.
really, really wanting to do that. So
absolutely.
So Mario Kart Tour is racing onto Android and iOS.
Nice.
Hopefully racing and not some sim driver pick
your
cart.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think it's going to be, David?
Man, I was thinking, there was this game I played. I forget the name of it. It was this really cool car game where you kind of had some tilt controls with your phone. And like you win, like you have certain challenges. If you win certain races, you get new cars, and like you have to do certain things to upgrade your own car. And I feel like they might go that route. Maybe you have new cars that you can get after winning races, new characters that you can get. Maybe they have it where it's not an RPG, but a style of leveling up and making your cars better so you go faster. I don't know how it's anything different than that. I don't have any other imagination towards anything else.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have really any information on it.
I was very surprised to hear that they were doing Mario Kart.
Like, makes sense though, right?
It does.
Second highest selling game on Switch.
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense financially, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I thought they might try a Zelda or a, I don't know, something else.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that if you're gonna do mobile, you have to do mobile centric experiences that are enhanced on mobile or just aren't compromised. And I definitely think that Mario Kart will be compromised on mobile if they do go the tilt controls route. The only way I'll even bother with playing it is if I can use a Bluetooth controller on my phone, which they're not going
to
do because that's
so
just cumbersome. Yeah, and the fact that it's free to start, I mean, I can already see it coming. You're going to be earning currency and, you know, and then unlocking tires and, you know, paragliders and different car equipment and characters, tracks.
It could be a fun, like, pick up a couple times and put away kind of a game, like
You're waiting for class to start or you're on break at work, like, I guess
a nice icon to have on the phone.
Honestly, that's why I have mine on there. I'm a Nintendo fan. Here's the proof. Oh man.
All right, well, how about we go into a little break and then we'll head into our next topic.
We're back, and we're going to jump into a question block. We got some questions from some fans.
Yes, sir. All right, so just to say, if you have any questions, send them to our email at nintendobelievers@gmail.com or Facebook, Nintendo Believers, or our Twitter, @BelieversCast. We'd love to hear from you guys and get some questions. Let's jump right into the first one. How do you think Nintendo will go about having two handheld systems after hearing that the 3DS support is continuing? What do you guys think?
Quinn, you brought this up when we talked about what Nintendo needs to do to sell 20 million units.
20 million Switches.
Switches, correct, yeah. I don't think this helps them in that regard.
Not at all.
I don't know why they say, why Kimishima, I feel like that's his name, the president of Nintendo, why he would say that they would sell 20 million units and also say that we're going to continue 3DS in the same sentence. Like, I know he didn't, but that's pretty much what it is. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's like they, you know, there's 70 million 3DSs out there, and they think that install base still wants new games, but they're releasing games like Hey Pikmin and, you know, the Mii game that came out, and just cash grabs that aren't really working, and it just seems like you need to hone in on the Switch to me. But I think they said they have 6 titles for the 3DS this year or something like that, and you know, they still have like that Sushi Striker game that they showed at E3, and it's just going to be weird titles like that and stuff. So I don't think it's going to hurt the Switch too much, but I think that they just need to let the 3DS go and realize that it had a really good run.
Yeah, well, and it's weird, like, there's so many good games on that system. I can't even think of games that I would want. Like, I am fully satisfied with everything that's on the 3DS. I have not played all the games, and I am fully satisfied.
Yeah.
And also, if there's any amazing games, like if they have another Zelda, 2D Zelda game or another 2D Metroid game, I'm going to be kind of upset because I want it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Can you guys, think of any games that you want for the 3DS?
Well, like every game that I would want for the 3DS, I want more on the Switch. And I think like a 2D Metroid or Zelda, like you just said, that would be on the 3DS would be a perfect way for them to be like, boom, we're going to have a $40, range of games that are smaller scale that would have been on the 3DS, because this is our only console now. So you're going to see some more budget titles, even from the big dogs here at Nintendo. I think that'd be a great strategy, and that they could keep their lineup filled with smaller games between the major, $60 titles.
That
would be so awesome.
Beginning too.
Yeah. Because that was the refreshing thing about Poi, was it was a $20 physical game.
Right,
it's just wow, if there were $20, $40, and $60 games that, I could cycle in and out, because sometimes you just want a game that you can beat in 5 to 8 hours. Like that, that's great. Like, I like beating games, and I think that I would love to play a 2D Zelda on the Switch.
Yeah, and how much do you think that we're going to see some double dipping from Nintendo here, Switch and 3DS? Do you think we'll see any of that, or?
Probably not, just from the technical standpoint that the 3DS is a 3D system.
Like Hyrule Warriors did it.
Like yeah, but that was originally a Wii U game. It was actually downported to 3DS. Right. I think like upscaling to this, I don't think we'll see like, you know, low res like 360p like or 480, whatever the 3DS is. I think the 3DS is 480 twice.
Wii U.
Yeah, but that was honestly a different game that they just coded to be very similar.
Something like that if it was something. And it could be, if they came out with Smash Bros. This year, they could do that. Or Pokemon. I mean, I don't think they do it with Pokemon because they really are seeming to go in the direction of the Switch. But
just like look at like even like the game like Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap, or like Owl Boy, these Shovel Knight. Like these games like that are like kind of like 1080p, but retro art styles. Like Nintendo could just rake in the money if they did that with Mario or Zelda. Like. It's just obvious to me and make it a budget
$40
game. Yeah, $40. Absolutely. I'd pay $40 for a new Mario with a sweet new art style that wasn't just phoning it in like the new Super Series. And
People love that. I mean, it's a great idea to have a, you know, a $40 segment and a $60 segment. That'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Like, they're both portable, though. Like, that's just what gets me. Like, they can't make a game that's like, oh, but it's better than the home console because now you can take it anywhere. Like, they literally made that for the Switch. Like, why are they trying so hard to be good business people when they can't even keep the NES Classic out for long enough to make a good amount of money for it? Like, isn't it weird? Do you guys feel like this is a weird business decision? Like when you add in all the other business decisions they've been making with not making like enough NES Classics, not like, and they've been doing better with the SNES.
Yeah, they did but great with SNES. Yeah.
It's like why is this their decision to make more money in this regard rather than making more accessible Amiibo, make more accessible NES Classics? Like, what do you think they're doing there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think that best case scenario, the way they're going to do it is going to be minimal in games that we're not going to be jealous of that didn't come with 3DS. And if they do it like that, they could still sell a million units to kids that have 3DSs and don't have a Switch.
Right.
So maybe that's what they're thinking.
Okay.
As long as they put the B team on the 3DS games and keep the A team on the Switch games.
Right.
I think that's where it could end up being a smart business decision. They're just walking a fine line, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I honestly think that it's pretty much a load of crap. I think that they are just saying they're going to continue the 3DS support in the same way that they were going to continue the Game Boy Advance support when the DS dropped, and then the DS took off and they dropped the Game Boy Advance so fast it wasn't even funny. And
like maybe they had like six games that were in development like five years ago, and they're like, okay, these are the last ones. Like we're gonna say we're still supporting it because we still have these, and then once they're out of here, we're done. Like
and they're just saving face with the 70 million people that own a 3DS. They don't want them to feel burned, but you know, it's like at this point, at the end of this year, the Switch will have almost been out for 2 years. So get yourself a Switch if you don't have one. You know,
do you know how long the 3DS has been out?
I think it's on 5 or 6 years.
2012.
Okay. So 6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
but
good.
The 3DS definitely had a slow start for sure.
Absolutely. It definitely did.
I'm just going to say it now. Next week, we're going to have a retrospective on the 3DS. So
I like it.
We're going to go through the console revisions and our favorite games.
Sounds like a plan.
Wow. I'm excited. That 3DS is one of my favorite systems. Favorite
because
handheld,
we've
sure.
done a lot of trashing on it on this show, but actually it was probably one of my favorite consoles Nintendo's ever put out. Definitely one of the best game libraries that any system has.
The first console I ever bought by myself.
Yeah.
And it was, man, that I want to talk about like the first impression like of when we first did all that stuff too. So stay tuned.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about that. Going into the next question, we got a question from Complete Indie, and he asks, what if the Nintendo Switch was released in 2012 instead of the Wii U? How would this have affected Nintendo? And go into more detail, how would no Wii U affect their titles, no Smash for Wii U, Mario Maker, as those were Wii U titles? So, like, those meaning, like, if they didn't, if all the ports right now were just legitimate games, you know, so how do you think that would affect where Nintendo is right now?
First of all, I think that the tech in the Switch is pretty impressive that they fit that powerful of a console in the size of a basically a little 7-inch tablet. And if you think about it, the Wii U is basically a reverse Switch because it has a tablet, but instead the games are being streamed to the tablet from the big box, where the Switch is docked into the dock and then streams the games to the TV. So it's basically the complete opposite. And I'm not sure the tech would have been ready. And the other thing that would have been strange is that that's when the 3DS was launching. And I'm not sure if it would have been a detriment to that, because it is a truly portable console.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think?
No, I feel like the Switch was what Nintendo was trying to do. Go back into a lot of the interviews, they're like, we wanted this tablet. We know that tablets are the in, you know, like, and we wanted people to be able to use a touchscreen and to be able to interact with the TV like that. And universal remotes, like that's kind of like what the idea for the, like
the
for
TV
the Wii was, just that, you know, this mm-hmm. is a remote kind of yeah. looks like a remote. Yeah. But like it can control everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I really liked it for that. But, I feel like they were trying to do the Switch. They just did not have the capability,
right,
like you said. But I definitely think, like, they wouldn't have had such a horrible, like, time, like, financially, with especially because the Switch is doing really well.
Yeah.
I mean, but do you guys think that? Sorry, you have something to say before I
you keep going.
All right. Like, do you think let's just say that Mario Odyssey and Zelda the Breath of the Wild don't come out at the beginning of the Switch's lifestyle, do you think that the Switch succeeds with games like new Super Mario Bros. Going into Zelda, Wind Waker? Like,
I don't. I've been saying it from the start that Nintendo doesn't realize that their success is because they're releasing good games, not because they've released another system with gimmicky Joy-Cons and
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been more successful than the Wii U, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Switch is a great... The great part about it is the handheld and how great that works and how seamless it is to go from handheld to TV. It's not the Joy-Cons. It's not any other of the gimmicks that they thought.
Right.
But, like, I mean, the best way to play big games is with a Pro controller. Yeah.
They still think...
Well, I don't know what they're thinking, but...
So, yeah, I mean, maybe more successful, and especially coming off the Wii, like, you know... It would have been a whole different thing. I think people would have still had a lot of trust in them. So for the Switch, when it released, they had to get past the unbelief of so many people.
Right.
And they're still getting past that, but
right,
they've sold, what, 15 million, 16 million mm-hmm. in the first 9 months. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's been incredibly successful. I think earlier, I just got to correct, I said the 3DS was released in 2012. It was actually 2011. So I just want to correct that because I heard the Wii U was 2012. I was like, wait a minute.
It was 1 year before.
Yeah, it was 1 year before it, so... Yeah,
absolutely. No, it's interesting because I still think that, like you said, I think that the Switch would have succeeded to an extent because mm-hmm. of the marketing. Now, like going to the Wii U, they did horrible. Like they called it the Wii U. I've always liked the name. But the reason I stopped liking the name is because everyone started asking me, what's a Wii U? Like,
yes.
No one knew what it was. And I was just on this island by myself and didn't think anyone else in the world owned one. Like, yeah. the only reason I ever felt that way is because of me. Otherwise, it's because of Miiverse, you know. But so the way that they have marketed this, like the Switch, this system this time around, I think would have made it a lot more successful, even with the games that came out, even though they're weren't that great. Like, mm-hmm. but there was a time when Nintendo was releasing Mario Kart and Smash, and they had the promise of Zelda, and they had the promise of Star Fox, and Star Fox probably would have been a lot better on the Switch because it wouldn't have been all of the crazy motion stuff that the Wii U was. The Wii U version was, that's mm-hmm. what made it people not like
the gimmicks,
much,
yeah.
gimmicks of it. So I feel like it would have been maybe more successful in the middle of its life cycle, maybe not at the beginning, not like it is right now with it, because Zelda and Mario, absolutely amazing, but
right.
Yeah,
the Switch is firing on all cylinders. It's a very good piece of tech. It has great marketing and it has great games, where the Wii U had none of those three. So
yeah, I like the games, though. I had never played Wind Waker before. That's
there's some good, great games on Wii U, but they didn't come out right at the beginning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it should be said that Breath of the Wild did come out on Wii U, but it's right true. At the end.
But yeah. I'll never remember the Wii U for Breath of the Wild.
Oh, no. Me neither.
I don't think anyone really will, besides the five people that got it on the Wii U. Poor souls.
And what about the no Smash for Wii U, Mario Maker, as those were Wii U titles? Do you think that those being original titles on Switch would be accepted even more than they already are?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think Mario Maker is probably the best example of the Wii U at its finest.
Yes, absolutely. Like, 100%.
That would work better on Wii U than anything else, just about. So,
right.
I agree, but the Switch is still a touchscreen gamepad that you could design levels on and then dock it and play your level with a pro controller. I don't think the compromise is that great. True. And I definitely obviously think that if they don't port Mario Maker, they're going with a Mario Maker 2 with slopes and
I'm hoping
for whatever else they can add.
I have to do a Mario Maker pipe dreams because that would be fun. But
that would be.
Yeah, I mean 3D Mario. Hello.
3D Mario Maker.
Yeah, there it is.
I was talking the other day. Maybe a Mario Kart Maker.
Oh that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Roller Coaster Tycoon style.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, and Smash. I mean, Smash 4 is great and. A lot of people still think it's going to come out on the Switch, so I think probably. That Smash 4 as the Switch Smash game with the Wii U never releasing, I think people would have been totally fine with it. Yeah. As long as they can play with their GameCube controller.
Right, yeah.
That's the catch.
But you can, right?
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they tested
that. Because I think there are already games that people are playing with, like the bongos and the different
Nintendo just when they released an update to enable the USB controllers for the third parties like the Power A controller they didn't even realize that would enable their USB GameCube adapter to work so
awesome.
It was kind of a funny coincidence, but you know, people of the internet start testing the weirdest crap they can possibly find to get a YouTube view, so
absolutely.
You go internet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for watching or listening to Nintendo Believers Podcast. We really appreciate you guys' support. Make sure to like and subscribe and give us a nice little comment, maybe a question and question blocks, like Chase said. Yeah. We would love to have you over in our Twitter page, in Believers Cast, or on our Facebook page, in Nintendo Believers, and also Gmail at NintendoBelievers@gmail.com. So, guys, got anything else?
Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Keep your games close and your families closer.
See ya.